pleased to have you here. It's absolute privilege and pleasure. So thank you, guys. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Lucia. So, hi everyone, how are you going? Good?
Good.
Okay. Excellent. So, I'd like to meet you all. Is that okay? So, look, my voice is crap, so I don't want to talk too much, but... how about everyone introduces themselves? Okay? Is that good? And I thought, because I'm secretly evil, I thought that... I thought that I would ask everybody to say their name and what they fear. If you're afraid to say what you fear, then you don't say anything, but we'll know.
I can tell you what I fear.
And also know if you're very eager to review it.
I fear being
the
man and having been asked earlier and totally forgot to prepare. I'm like, I missed out on all these things I should have said.
And your name?
My name is Alicia.
Okay, well, I'm not a child. What do I feel? What I fear. Well, I was thinking just the other day, something that I fear is the... I fear disappointing people whom I respect. Yeah, that's something that I fear. Because I was working on a website on Sort of Central, you know, you launch that website and thousands of people will see it, right? I don't really care what they think. But there's probably like two or three people who like people that I, you know, really respect and I look up to, and I really hope that, you know, if they said that it was bad or something, I'd be really hurt. So I was really thinking, oh, that's something that, you know, I fear. Anyway, okay. Anybody else? What's this man? I don't want to push
myself. I pushed. My name is Brenda. I'm
29
years old. I'm loneliness. I enjoy people's company. So I don't like to be alone by myself. I do want to develop more of my skills of meditation, so I can actually get along with myself better.
Right.
So that's me.
My name is Tina, and I fear one day when I get old or sick that I will lose my mind and my inability to then practice.
Really?
Yeah, because I see that. I see that in other people, and I hope that I don't do that.
My name is Zen, and my deepest fear is that I will die and I will not find the Dhamma or my Dhamma friends. That's my deepest fear.
Okay. Just to clarify, it doesn't have to be your deepest fear. It wouldn't be everyday fear. Deep fear is fine, but you don't have to. It can be just an ordinary one.
I fear I'm shy. Sometimes I fear I'm inadequate.
Just so people know, that Jessica's from Perth. And it was many years before I met her, but she and her sisters were always kind of famous in the Buddhist society, because when Ajahn Brahm would give a talk, they would sit there without moving at all for hours every time and be very still. That's women are just sitting there, they just stay there without moving. So other people don't feel the same. Okay. So you don't have to say anything if you don't. That's optional.
My name is Adisila.
Anything you fear that you want to talk about?
Yeah. good people. My association with the best people is nature.
Again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And try to make everything good from the good.
Okay. This one.
My name's Chris. And on the weekend at the Mitchell Conference, I was actually talking to a monastic. I know I have some of Mardi, no name. But I used a word that I'm going to say now that she hadn't heard, and it's my fear. It's FOMO, F-O-M-O, and she'd not heard of that. The fear of missing out. And it's quite common in parts of where I live and in Sydney and generations. It's really, the fear of missing out could be anything, but I've realised that I'm changing my life more into Dharma and practice and meditation, Buddhism, away from my family and my friends, and I'm getting less included and I fear disconnecting from them. Mm-hmm. And whatever that might be happening. Yeah.
My name is Deepika. I have lots of fear, so I'm listening to each one. Sometimes I fear that my children might think that I'm not listening to them properly because I have had a upsetting meeting and they catch me wondering what I'm doing. So they seem to sometimes think, this is too big. They come back and question me. So I fear that they feel that I'm not attentive. Yeah, sometimes I fear that I might not be able to fall asleep at night.
My name is Ron. I have family. We have a lot of years in time to time, but if you could say that the dharma of the fear is not realized before, I think is that's okay.
My name is Hashmi. I also have a lot of fear, and I'm still trying to figure out which one is to fear. Maybe the fear of losing loved ones, or how I'm going to survive without my loved ones in my life.
My name is May. I value my privacy a lot, so one of my fears public exposure, especially related to social media. So I'm okay with saying my fear right now in front of people in real life, but if it's recorded on Facebook and on the internet, that's it.
Is that right there, Maya?
Sweetie, I'm afraid we dog. I was really beaten by a big dog, that's why I'm still scared.
For years, I was afraid of spiders for years. When I was growing up, it was a growing up in Australia. That's not a good fear to have. That's all because when I was a kid, I watched a silly sci-fi movie called Tarantula. That is terrifying. Tarantula, as big as a house. Do you remember sitting there? I was like looking in the window. This woman was getting changed in there, and I was like, that's terrifying.
Very much. No, I've never had that much fear as much as what you are. But I do remember watching it really late at night. The TV program called Creature Feature.
It got so big they had to call it the airport to blow it up. That's a big spider.
I'm June, and I fear speaking up like this now.
My name is Leanne Braddon, and I have a fear of actually disconnecting from my spiritual path. I'll be lost forever. I don't know what it feels not to have it. So that's my biggest thing.
My name is Lynn. I'm from Vietnam. I'm very happy today because I see Buddhism come to everyone in the world. So that's an opportunity that you return. That will be happy more every day.
I'm good. I fear the most is decisions that world leaders make.
My name is Leona, and I feel that I've set on a personal basis. This strong feeling of mine is in to be free from fear. So that sort of comes parallel. Okay. If I'm in a situation, I'm always trying to enable myself not to. But I agree about there is a fear of what can happen in the world. It's on the wider pair.
Sure.
My name is Chen. Generally, what I fear the most would be the uncertainties about the future of our world, the direction that we are heading, probably with our environments and overpopulations and people's greed. Those are the things that I fear. But at personal level, what I fear the most would be not able to live up to my own standard, which I sort of step for myself, and I constantly fear that I'm not achieving what I want to be.
My name is Alex. Like other person, I have lots of fears. I used to fear when I was younger becoming homeless.
So that means you're probably a monk in your past life.
Hi, my name is Jenny. I think my fear is failure. My fear is failure.
Oh, maybe still seems a bit of a problem.
Hi, my name is Justin. I have quite a few fears, but the fear that crosses my mind continuously is the fear of uncertainty and the future in general.
Hi, my name is Ben. My only real fear is my fear of being wrong.
I'm Alison. One of my main fears is not being abused. So finding at some point in my life that other people don't have any need for me or can't find that I'm not being abused.
So are you being abused to people or are they being abused to you, I guess, both?
Oh, me being abused to other people.
Right, but you, when you're abused to other people, they're also being abused to you. Because you're afraid that if you can't do that, then yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Who have we got next? Sorry, for people who newly arrived, we've just been going around the room introducing ourselves and saying something that we fear. Why are we doing this? I don't know. I just because my voice is no good, so I thought it was good to get everyone else to speak. So if you want to introduce yourself, and if you'd like to say something that you fear, then that's good. If not, that's fine. You don't have to do it. Yeah.
Well, I'm Malcolm, and history of social anxieties and okay. Also fears of failure.
Okay. think you're on the back row.
I'm Mitchell, and I fear my mind has a particular ADHD, a brain's ADHD, and sometimes it's like I can't control what happens.
I'm Harrison, and I fear failure and letting other people down. But I think there's also like a fear of having a fear. Like, cause like having this whole time thinking about, oh, what's my fear? Oh, it's failure. And then so then I'm actually like confronting that. That's quite intense. But that's fear, yeah.
My name is Annie, and I'm very happy to see everybody here, and hope to see all the time.
Hi, my name is Tony, and my fears are for my children. I'm worried that they get into the wrong track, and you know, and meet wrong people. And that's my fear for my children.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I fear loneliness, joy, by being alone.
Hi, I'm Lucy. I'm sorry we're late. My fears are a bit superficial, I guess. Being poor, not to be able to support my family, and to live a comfortable life.
Would you like to share some
of your fears?
You have to say your name as well.
Oh, okay. I'm Ayesha, and I fear a little bit for the future of the world. But also I fear like getting to the end of my life and not having made the most of it and perhaps not being happy. Yeah.
Oh, thank you everybody for that. That's pretty, it's like market research for Dhamma teachers. Find out where people's fears and sufferings are, then we can try to address them. So that's very useful. So let me just review the schedule for this evening. We're finishing up at when? 8:30? 8:30 is the scheduled time to finish. Okay. And do you have like a normal procedure that you do here? Do we have to normally do some meditation?
Whatever
we feel like doing. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Okay, so and before we just continue, may I ask also for some more information from you? How many people here have meditated before? Okay, so most people have done some meditation. Is there anyone who's never meditated before? No? Everyone's done at least a little bit. A couple of people?
Just a little
bit. Just go ahead. Okay, that's good. So it would be nice to do some meditation together. And so we've just been around the room and we just kind of shared our fears. So in a sense, we probably know each other better than most people who've been living with each other for a long time. Know each other. So you know, you get to, when you hear about those vulnerabilities and those fears, then you begin to realize that you can recognize something of yourself in each one of those. Yeah? And though, even though the specifics of what people talk about might be different, but you know, I think we can hear pretty much all of those and say, oh yeah, that's, you know, I can understand why somebody would be afraid of that. And so these kinds of fears and anxieties and so on, oops, people come in. Please come in, welcome, and please come and we get special seats at the front for you. Special guests. So we have to have special respect for the people who come a little bit late to Dhamma talks, because they are teaching us that we don't have to be so anxious about being on time all the time.
Is that reverse psychology, Shingy?
they're teaching us, and now we've learned that lesson. So this is part of our common humanity, and it's not something to be ashamed of, it's not something to particularly worry about, it's just a normal part of our human condition. And fear, of course, like other emotions, has a function, right? It serves a purpose. And if you're always, when I come back to think about how human psychology works, I always think about cavemen, because that's how my mind works. So I've lived in a cave for much of my life. So you're a caveman and you hear a rustle in the bushes and you're afraid. There's going to be a saber-toothed tiger that's going to eat me. And it's quite rational to have that fear, and it serves a purpose. And so one of the big problems that we have is we still have these very kind of primordial instincts. And when we have these anxieties and so on, our limbic system and so on, it gets flooded with all of these chemicals and stuff, and we have these fight and flight responses and all of these very primitive ways of embodying and manifesting these emotions. But then they're confronted with real life situations that can't be solved in that same way. And so you fear that there's a saber-toothed tiger, then you can get up and yell and run away. And that's it, you're good. And if you're afraid of nuclear Armageddon, what do? Right? Do you get up and scream and run away? Sure, some people like to do that. Some people like, buy a nice piece of land in New Zealand and you think you can go there and ride out the apocalypse. Complete madness, huh? But anyway. So how do we actually respond to that? And these kinds of sort of generalized anxieties, these things like fear of failure, exposure, and these other kinds of things, these are generalized things which you can't sort of overcome once and for all. So I think that the process of acknowledging those fears and understanding them is a first step to being able to live with them. And perhaps even the first step to being able to overcome them and let them go. Even though it's normal to feel fears, and it's normal to have these feelings, it's not necessary. Right? So there's a difference between saying something's normal and saying something's necessary. And I think in regular psychology, they would teach you that the important thing is to understand your fears, to be able to recognize them, to be able to manage them and control them, keep them under limits. Yeah, and for many people, of course, that's good advice. But the Buddha took that even further, and he said that it's also possible to be able to let go of your fears altogether. Yeah? That's a very radical statement to say, well, we can actually live without fears. So you imagine again that caveman situation, you hear the rustle in the bushes, you hear the saber-toothed tiger, you're actually able to recognize that there is a saber-toothed tiger and it's appropriate to run away from it. But you do that through wisdom and not through fear. And the idea of transcendence and letting go of these kinds of drives, it's very intriguing, and it's quite a compelling idea. When I first heard about this, I remember thinking, how is this possible? Right? How is it possible to live without desire? How is it possible to live without attachment? How is it possible to live without fear? When these things are shaping every decision you make in the morning. You get up and you go and you brush your teeth. What do? If you don't want to, I have to want to brush my teeth, otherwise I don't brush my teeth. What do? Do you just go into a state of nothingness and just sit there and zone out for the rest of your life? So how do we live if we're able to let go of these things? So one of the perils of the spiritual path, and a peril which is very, very widespread, and very, I think everyone goes through it or experiences it probably many times, is what they sometimes call spiritual bypassing. Sometimes in the philosophical term we might call it elevationism. And it's basically, it's the idea that you kind of project yourself onto some kind of higher spiritual level that enables you to pretend that these things don't really exist, okay, or they don't really apply to you, right? So you're too holy to have anger, right? And so then people can then start to... What actually happens internally is that rather than, as the Buddha said, to experience things, to be mindful of them, to understand them, right? Remember the first noble truth, the truth of suffering, is to be understood. Right? Buddha said we should understand suffering, we should fully know suffering. So, because when we have that, when we've been practicing the spiritual life, we have that sense of conceit, it grows in, and then, because I'm a Buddhist, I'm a meditator, so therefore I don't get angry. Right? And so when you're with somebody and they really annoy you, you say, may you be happy to them. But like really passive aggressively. And it's like really annoying. And you actually start to lock yourself off from parts of your own mind and close yourself off from parts of your own mind because they're unpleasant. It's not nice. And one of the funny things about meditation is because when you go into meditation, you practice that mindfulness. You can be aware of the different emotions and so on coming and going. And after a while, nice doesn't matter so much. And you see different kind of feelings, different sensations coming in, sometimes they're pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. And you start to realize this, what that idea of equanimity means. So equanimity isn't just sort of shoving things under the carpet and pretending like everything's okay. Equanimity is able to actually see these things, to observe them, to know them, to understand them. And the word that we translate as equanimity, perhaps the translation is at fault here, and I tried some different translations as a translator of Pali, but I haven't been able to find a better one. But the literal translation, the word we translate as equanimity in Pali is upekkha, which literally means to watch closely over. So to watch closely over something. So to watch closely over something is the very opposite of ignoring it. Yeah? And it's the very opposite of controlling it. So meditation, in any kind of good meditation, has to begin by first accepting and allowing those different fractured aspects of our own psyche into awareness, and all of those different kinds of pains and so on. And to be able to have at least a bit of equanimity with regards to those, right? In that sense of closely watching over. I'm not talking about like a complete enlightened equanimity or something. I'm just talking about just an ability to see it and to have some compassion that, oh, okay. Every time we try to push down a thought, or every time we try to ignore an emotion, yeah, we're cutting a bit of our own mind off. We're saying this thing is a piece of who we are. It's part of who we are, that thought, that feeling, that emotion, whatever it is, it's part of who we are. And we're saying to that part of who we are, I don't like you. Go away. And what we find if we develop meditation in this way is that in the short term can be quite good. Right? And I remember a very good friend of mine many years ago who was meditating, and she said she went through this phase in her life where she was just like a complete mess, like totally all over the place. But she said, my meditation's really good. Right? And she was just like totally depressed and anxious and scattered and everything. But then I said, meditate, my meditation's going really well. I mean, it's not a bad thing, right? I mean, the fact that she had at least something, right? It's better than not having anything, right? So it's not that it's a bad thing. But it's clearly, it's not very stable. It's not going to last, right? So when we have that equanimity for those things, accepting it, and then we begin to say, oh, actually, it's kind of okay. fear is kind of okay. Sadness is kind of okay. It's just a feeling. It's right. I mean, sure, some feelings are better than others. We know that. Okay, it's just a feeling. Pain is just pain. Okay, it's really. They come and they go. And you need to question, why is it that I spend so much of my life being pushed around by these things? I'm pushed around by reacting to fears, reacting to sadness and all these things, instead of just being able to live. You know, shouldn't we be living from our values? Living from what we actually believe to be good, and creating a life, and creating a space for people around us, creating a life that is according to what we really value, right? Rather than being driven by our fears. Yeah.
Aren't our values set by our emotions to a certain degree?
They are, yeah.
So if you take those emotions away, and then be different. We have different goals from the past.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And when you do this, but that's the process of evolution. Yeah? So the values are not the same. Yeah? And this is something that changes as your life goes on. And I actually learned a good lesson on this from what I heard once of a particular Chinese, Kano Japanese, form of Buddhism. I can't remember what it's called now. I read about this story about this Japanese Buddhist movement, and when I first heard what they were saying, I thought, that's terrible. How can they be twisting the Buddha teaching so much? Because what they do is they basically, you go in there and they say to you, what do you want? Right? And then you say, oh, I want a new car. And they say, sure. And they go, ooby goomy, come goomy, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they give you some blessing or something. And they give you a mantra. And they say, you know, recite this mantra every day so many times, and you'll get what you want. Right? And I think that's terrible, that's not what the Buddha taught. But then the person who's the teacher is saying, well, what happens is that people go away, and first thing that they've done is that they've actually clarified in their own mind what it is that they really do want. Right? And they focused it, and when they're doing the chanting, they're focusing their mind and they're clarifying their goals. And so usually you find that they actually end up achieving their goals. Right? Because they're focused on it, and they know what they want. And then they get their goal, and the next thing they realize, yeah, it's just a car, right? And for the first few days, they're really proud of driving around in it, and then they're like, oh yeah, there's nothing special. So they go back to the temple, and they say, okay, now what do you want? Right? And they're like, oh yeah, well, I've got a new car, but I'm still arguing with my wife. So maybe that will be my next wish, is to, you know, stop arguing with my wife. So then they go away and they do that. So as they go through that process, they gradually learn to focus on more deeply on what really matters, and to refine their sense of what their actual goal is. And so that, you know, to me that was very skillful when I understood how that works, because that's you're starting with where somebody is actually at. Yeah? Again, this idea of like spiritual bypassing, rather than starting with an ideal of where we should be, right? We're starting with, well, what are my actual fears and desires and hopes and right here. And by developing them in the right way, they become more refined and they develop over time. Okay. So I'll be talking a little bit about this now, so maybe it's time for some meditation. And so because I happen to get into the theme of talking about equanimity and watching our feelings and so on, so why don't we do some mindfulness meditation where we will just do that. And we'll just sit for maybe 20 minutes. Is 20 minutes good? Yeah? And we'll just do a mindfulness meditation of being equanimous. Light dimmed? Sure, yeah.